the Lord in the house this morning. Amen. God been good to you? Amen. All my hope is in Jesus. How about you? Praise God. And he's never failed us. Amen. And he never will. Such a wonderful, loving Savior. Then not only does he save us, he sustains us. Praise God. Amen. I just love him with all of my heart this morning. Just appreciate him. Let's do it. Everyone know how welcome they are and how glad we are to see them. Amen. And join with me and let us thank Jesus, amen, for being in our midst this morning. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the book of St. Matthew. Amen. It's good to feel the anointing presence of Almighty God.
Yes, amen.
Pray that he will just meet the needs this morning, and I know he will. Amen.
Yes.
He's a never-failing God, amen. He knows what we need even before we ask him for it, amen. And he not only knows what we need, he can supply that we need. From the book of St. Matthew this morning, I want us to focus our attention on chapter number 4. The first four verses of St. Matthew chapter number 4. Thank you for standing as we read the precious word of God this morning. Again, from St. Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, I said, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can we pray?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we love and thank you this morning, God, for your greatness, for the greatness of your love, for the greatness of your mercy, for the greatness of your power. Father, I pray today, God, that you would minister to each and every need here today. God, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, help me to move aside, God, and let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. God, use this body, use these lips. God, use that for your honor and for your glory. God, that we might hear your word, believe your word, and be doers of your word. Father, we do remember those who are suffering. So many are afflicted. So many are experiencing so many things in their life. And Father, I pray, God, that you would touch and anoint them, lift them up, heal those that are in need of prayer. And Father, I pray, God, that your Holy Ghost will just come down on this congregation this morning, God, and feed us that heavenly manna, God, as we look forward, Lord, to what you have in store for us. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Turn to someone. Shake their hand. Tell them how much you love them this morning. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, it's just hard to replace love. Amen. Love cures a lot of things, don't it? I thank God for love. And the Bible says God is love.
Yes, He is.
I'm just going to preach to you this morning what the Lord has preached to me this week, if that's all right. Because I don't know anything else to tell you except what God said. Amen. I could give you my opinion, and my daddy told me, said, everybody's got one, and it's the only thing that I know that's free, and it ain't worth nothing. My opinion to you this morning ain't worth nothing. Amen. But if I can read to you what thus saith the Word of God. I believe if we can look into the Word of God and understand and know what He would do or what He would have us do in situations, I believe that we can earnestly and honestly get through so many different things. The message title that this morning that I'm going to leave with you may be a little catchy, but this is what I felt to share with you this morning. If it's not bread, don't eat it. Think about that for just a little bit. If it's not bread, don't eat it.
Amen.
Let's look at where Jesus is. Jesus, the Son of God, is in the wilderness, praying and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Not because of he has experienced or anything, but because he was sent there to be tempted. To build his strength, to build his character, to build his reliance on God, and to know that when trials came, he would be prepared, and know when this tribulation came, to know that he would be energized with the power of God as he fasted and he pushed the natural food away, and for 40 days and 40 nights, he existed on spiritual manna or spiritual food. Understand, this was on the heels of a voice from heaven, just as Jesus was baptized, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And because I am so pleased in him, I'm going to send him to the wilderness to be tempted. And this happens just after Jesus is finishing up his fasting and prayer, and afterward he was hungered. Now, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus was naturally hungry. Certainly after sacrificing and praying and fasting for 40 days and nights, I do not believe that he would have been too picky over a food or a particular meal that was set before him. But understand, the tempter came to him. And the tempter said, if thou be the Son of God, then command these stones that they be turned into bread to fulfill that natural need, that natural appetite that you need. And Jesus' response to him was, it is written. It is written. If you can't rely on anything else, you can rely on what is written. Amen. Amen. You may hear every kind of instruction, every kind of advice, every kind of supposedly interpretation of what God said, but when in doubt, search it out in the scriptures, amen, because you can rely and we can rely on what is written, amen. It's not going to change regardless of the circumstance. It's not going to change regardless of the degree of persecution or tribulation that you're going through, amen. It was good enough for Jesus to rely on, and it'll still stand today if we rely on what is written in the Word of God, the living Word of God. I began to think about that. And I began to think about the tempter. Now, many people think that maybe the tempter showed up in a red suit with a pitchfork and a forked fork and began to tempt Jesus. I'm not so sure that was what the case was. Amen. If I see something like that, I'm not going to have anything to do with it at all. But he began to tempt his mind. Now, you understand that when he's talking about bread, he's not talking about a loaf of little sunbeam. Amen. He's not talking about the private label that you get on sale at certain stores. He's talking about a cake of baked bread. And if you look in history, a cake of baked bread very much looks like or resembles a rounded stone. So often, in fact, that if you saw a rounded stone sitting on the baker's shelf, many, before reaching that place of touching it, might think that it was, in fact, a freshly baked cake of bread. Now, don't you think that it would be natural? You know, when you're hungry, you see things, and I know that things flash across the television that'll make you hungry, and the first thing you know, you'll run to the refrigerator and grab something, and your mind begins to tempt you of things that are alluring and things that you want for your body, or things that will entice you. And I would imagine as Jesus came, and you know, even though he was the Son of God, for 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, I would imagine he was very weak. A weakened condition. Try fasting for 3 or 4 days and see how weak your body becomes. Your soul may be strengthened, that inner man may be strengthened, but that flesh, that housing around the spirit becomes very weak. Almost to the point that anything would look good. And in my mind it's that Jesus looks there and sees those stones, and maybe it reminds him of some freshly baked bread. I don't know. But the tempter says, you're the Son of God. You can make these stones become bread. I want to alert you. I want to give you, if nothing else, a word of warning. And I want to tell you that the tempter will come to you and make things that are, in fact, detrimental to your life look very appealing. And very alluring. And if we're not prayed up, and if we're not reliant on the Word of God, and if we don't have that spirit within us strong enough by prayer, by fasting, by meditation, by reading the Word of God, by obeying the Word of God, it will be very likely that we will succumb, amen, to what the devil or the tempter sets before us. In so much that it begins to make sense. Yes, Jesus could have turned those stones to bread. It would have been nothing for him to do that. But I got to understand, it wasn't the will of the Father. The will of the Father was for Jesus to go into the wilderness, not to eat of bread, not to partake, amen, or perform the miracles that he could, but it was there for the purpose, according to the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God, he was placed there to be tempted. To be tempted does not mean to be punished. To be tempted does not mean that God is in an angry mood and raining down wrath upon us.
So many times to be tempted means that God's overwhelming love is preparing us for something that's coming down the road, so that we won't be swept away by the cares of this world. So we won't be overwhelmed when the tempter really comes and begins to show his ugly side. So many times when we're in the wilderness being tempted, we are being prepared. We are being made ready. Amen. For a battle that's coming down the road. But can I give you a promise this morning? Can I tell you, he that is within us is greater than the tempter. He's greater than the trial. He's greater than the affliction. He's greater than the problem. He's greater than the mountain. Amen. If we are willing to rely on God's word, amen, and not our word. Praise God. Can I ask you a question? Why would you digest something that the tempter suggested? Why would you want to partake of something that the tempter is offering? But Brother Eddie, it looks like bread. It resembles bread, but it's not. If it's not bread, don't eat it.
Amen.
Why would you listen to something that is detrimental to you? Why would you digest something that someone or something or some media or some whatever the situation, whatever the vehicle it is that brings it to you, why would you allow that into your spirit if it is not the bread, if it is not something that will benefit your walk with God, that will cause you to be stronger in the Word of God, that will cause you to be more reliant on the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. Why would you digest that? Why would you even let it enter into your spiritual mouth? Amen. We understand and know the taste of him, taste of the Lord, amen, to see that he is good. I'm so afraid that we many times are allowing the things of the world, the things that other people are talking, come into our life, amen. And if it's not bread, I don't really need to hear it, amen. If it's not beneficial, I don't really need to fight with it, amen. If it's something that's going to cause me, amen, to go through pain or agony, if it's something that's going to cause me to turn my eyes off of God and turn my eyes on to something else, if it's going to cause me to be upset, if it's going to cause me to get angry, if it's going to cause me, amen, to lose sight and to lose focus of where my victory is. My victory is not in this world. My victory is in Jesus Christ. Amen. The living bread. Amen. That is bread. Give me bread from heaven. Fill me till I can't eat no more. Let it overflow. Let I be so full of the Word of God that nothing else can penetrate, amen, my spirit and my walk with God. If it ain't bread, don't eat it. I said, if it ain't bread, don't eat it. Amen. Glory to God. It looks good. It sounds good. It sounds enticing. But Jesus said, I don't need it. I don't need that. Let me tell you something. If Jesus wanted bread, he don't have to go through the tempter. If you want a blessing, you don't have to go through the tempter. Glory to God. If you want to get a closer walk with God, amen, rather than filling yourself full of the things of the world, begin to rid yourself for the things of the world. You want to be stronger in God? You want to be more dependent on God? Then be less dependent on worldly things. Less dependent on what somebody else said or what somebody else is doing. Let me tell you something, folks. I want you to understand that when people are doing other things, amen, I want you to understand, rather than me talking about them doing other things, I want to pray that they'll eat the bread of God. I want to pray that they'll revert to the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, there's direction in there. There's strength in there. There is victory in there. There is sustenance in there. There is an energizing, building force that is within us. When we take of the Word of God, you can't overeat. Come on, you can't get digestion from the Word of God. Come on, it's not going to lead you astray, but it'll pull you out of the bushes. It'll pull you out of the wayside. It'll help you walk the straight and narrow. But if it ain't bread, don't eat it. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. If that ain't bread, I don't need to hear that. Come on. If it's not bread, I don't need to read that. If it's bread, I don't need it. Come on. If it's hearsay, I don't need that. Glory to God. If it's falsehoods, if it's gossip, I don't need that. I don't need that. It may look like bread, but it's rocks. It's stones. And stones are hurtful. And stones are weighty. Amen. I need the Word of God. Oh, praise God. I need it not just every once in a while. I need it not just on Sunday morning. Let me tell you something. I got to have the bread of heaven every day of my life. Sometimes several days in my life. I mean, several times in my day, I need that bread. Not God's will for Jesus to turn those stones into bread. There was a time and place for the miracles of the Lord. There was a time and place for Him to turn water into wine. There was a time and place for Him to heal, to deliver, to set free, to anoint, to speak to blinded eyes, to unstop deaf ears, to hear, to heal those of the palsy, to cleanse those of leprosy. But this is not the time and place. This was a time and place that God sent Jesus to be tempted. And if God loves us, let me erase one word. Let me erase the if. There is no if in God's love. God loves us. But Brother Eddie, I hadn't been real good. God loves you. Brother Eddie, I'm not where I need to be. God loves you. Brother Eddie, you don't know my lifestyle. God loves you. Now please understand, God doesn't condone it. He doesn't agree with it. But God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His Son, that you could be born again, that through His blood you could be delivered. That's bread. That's bread. I could eat of it all day long. I could eat of John 3:16. I could eat of Psalms 23. I could eat of Revelations 20. I could eat all of that bread and consume that bread and love it and grow spiritually. But too many people are pushing aside the bread of the Word of God, and they're being infiltrated with other things that are this world. I want to warn you as a preacher. I want to warn you as a pastor, if it's not bread, don't eat it. Don't eat it. If I come feeding you anything other than the Word of God, don't eat it. You may like Brother Eddie, you may like pastors, you may like ministers, but if they're throwing stones at you, don't eat it. Eat the Word of God. The Word of God will sustain you. The Word of God will strengthen you. Hallelujah. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. God spoke to me. Said, there's things in the world today that are offered that are not bread. I didn't offer that. I didn't say that in my word. Let me tell you, bread other than the Word of God has taken on other ingredients. Brother David, that are not beneficial to our spirit. You don't have to go very far to hear blasphemy. You don't have to go very far to hear false prophets. Brother Eddie, what constitutes a false prophet? If he teaches, preaches, or lives anything other than the Word of God. Don't care how intellectual he is. Don't care what kind of theologian he is. If it's contrary to the bread, if it's contrary to the Word of God, he or she is a false witness. And we need to be careful. Because it sure looks like bread. It sure resembles bread. Amen. But it's detrimental. It's harmful. It's hurtful. If it ain't bread, don't eat it.
Amen.
Come on, don't eat it. Matthew 26, 26. Jesus took bread and blessed it. Hallelujah.
Yes, he did.
Do you know how blessed this word is? Do you know that it has withstood the test of time?
Amen.
The Word of God, the living Word of God, has been blessed. It is blessed. It is anointed. Amen. It is true. It is strength for us. It is guidance for us. It is direction for us. And the Bible says Jesus took bread. Amen. He took the bread and He blessed it. Hallelujah. I've often heard people say, Pastor, I have a very difficult time reading the Word of God. I have a very difficult time understanding the Word of God. And I ask them, what frame of mind are you reading the Word of God? It's not to be taken as a magazine. It's not even to be taken as a dictionary. Or an adventure book, although it has all of those and many more. But it was spiritually written, therefore it needs to be spiritually discerned. Maybe what we need to do is, before we read, pray. Many times we read the Word of God and then we pray a prayer, and that's fine. But many, many times I've had to pray first, God, lead me to what you want me to partake. God, I need bread today. God, I need your direction today. God, I need your anointing today. I am praying, God, that you will feed me that heavenly manna. Feed me that bread till I want no more. Till I'm just completely full in your word and in your authority and in your direction. And in your will for me, because it's there. He blessed that bread. John 6, 48. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. The tempter is trying to give bread to the bread of life. But can I tell you, the tempter's bread does not even measure up at all to the living bread. May look like it. May sound similar. I just got a thought. But it has not been proven. Years in the bakery business. Most of that in the sales, very little in the actual production, but we do get a little taste of what the production is all about. Many people said, man, that bread smells so good. I just love to go in there and pick one of those loaves of bread off of the conveyor belt and break that thing open and eat it. And we've done that. But to the novice, upon picking up that bread, the crust is as hard as a rock. You break it open, the inside is softened. But when you taste that bread, and when I would deliver the bread, one of the early morning customers, he said, man, I want some of that good fresh bread that's just come off of that conveyor belt. And I just grinned. No, you want one of those loaves of bread that hadn't gone to the proofing room.
Uh-oh. Come on, man. Come on, brother.
Come on. It ain't fun in the proofing room. It's not a place we volunteer to go sometimes. But But can I tell you what a couple of hours in the proofing room would do to that loaf of bread? The crust becomes so soft that even if you put one loaf of bread on the shelf and put another one on top of it, unless you tuck the tails on that, it will just mash it. Whereas hours ago, you could have stacked five on top of one another and never had at least any indention whatsoever. What happened? Something happened in the proofing room. Bread wasn't really digestible. Proofing room this week. I didn't even think about any of that, but thank you for the proofing room. As those loaves of bread come off the conveyor belt and they went into the wrapper and they were stacked up, they couldn't go to the shelf yet. They couldn't pass the test yet. Wasn't what the master baker wanted him to be. Send him to the proofing room. Into the proofing room was just a room. There was nothing else done to that bread except it just sat there. And over a period of time, over a period of several hours, a metamorphosis happened. A change began to take place. The old hard crust. The part that you could touch and not became very soft and pliable. And the master baker goes in there and he begins to feel. Have you ever felt like God is just squeezing you? That's because he loves you. That's because he wants you to be ready. When he first tried to squeeze you, he was hard. He was crusty. Man, you wasn't the bread that he wanted. But a few hours in the proofing room. Oh, a few hours alone with the master baker. A few hours alone with the hand, amen, of God touching you and molding you and fashioning you and making you into what he wants you to be. Yes. Hallelujah. Then it's ready for the shelf. It's ready to be delivered. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am that bread. I am that bread. I am what you need. I am what will help you. I am with what will strengthen you. I am all that you need. Amen. If it's not bread, don't eat it. The psalmist said in Psalms 102 and 9, oh, can you identify with this? I have eaten ashes like bread. You were just so hungry. You were just in so need of a move from God. You was just in certain expectation of something that would lift your spirits and something that would set you free, or something that would make you feel better, and you just began to binge eat. And the psalmist said, I've eaten ashes like it was bread. And he went on to say that I've also mingled my drink with weeping. When we're overwhelmed and the tears fell into your drink, can I tell you, if it's not bread, don't eat it. Don't sit around eating self-pity. Don't sit around eating unfortunate circumstances that's come into your life and think that that's going to sustain you. Don't think that even, and I don't mean to be offensive, but don't think that just an encouraging word and a pat on the back from a fellow saint is going to be what you need to get you through your trial. I know saints are well-meaning, and I know they love one another, but can I be honest with you? Sometimes they just don't know. They don't know. I don't know what you need. They're telling you, oh, just everything's going to be all right, and you're thinking, Lord, you ain't got no idea. Come on. But can I tell you, sitting around in your self-pity, sitting around with your drink mingled with the weeping and the tears and eating ashes instead of eating the nourishment of the Word of God. Can I tell you, there's a time to push back that plate. There's a time to push back the plate of the world. There's a time to push back the plate of other opinions. There's a time to push back the plate of gossip and innuendos and falsehood. There's a time to get into the real bread. There's a time to get into the real Word. There's a time to meditate. There's a time to fast. There's a time to pray. Amen. God is the one that's going to see you through this. If it's not bread, don't eat it. If it's not bread, I don't need it. Give me that bread. Give me that heavenly manna. That's what will strengthen me. That's what will sustain me. Man, that's what I need. Again, to reiterate, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I need every word. I need every ingredient into that living bread. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something else. The tempter's a liar. Poor Jesus. You fasted 40 days and 40 nights. For what? God don't care nothing about you. Go ahead and make them stones bread. Tempter's a liar.
Yes, he is.
What you want to eat of that for? You didn't have all his problems before you got saved. Before you dedicated and started coming to church regular. You know, you didn't have near this much sickness and affliction. Things were going pretty good. You know why they're going pretty good? Because tempter don't need to bother nobody who's not committed. Tempter don't need to bother nobody who's already eaten of the world. He wants to draw you away. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I got a spare.
Okay.
I got a red one. There you go. Praise God. He wants you to be down. He wants you to be out. He wants you to be so disturbed. So, you know, I've seen saints of God, bless their heart. And I believe they had scrapes on their knuckles because they're dragging the ground so much. Well, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. God said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Sometimes God just wants us to go through these things, which may be all true. But you need to eat the whole word. Amen. Some of us saints pick us out one scripture and that's all we know. Did you know the one that says that many are the afflictions of the righteous also says he will deliver us out of them all. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Also says if my people, amen, shall humble themselves and call on my name. Hallelujah. I will hear from heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to eat all the bread. Amen. Praise God. You know, a little square loaf of bread is like that. and sandwiches are made sometime, and I got a granddaughter that'll eat right down the middle of it. And she's done. We'll have spaghetti, and I love that Texas toast with that garlicky butter on it, and she'll eat right down the middle, and that crust is laying over there. And I said, "Baby, don't leave that crust. That stuff's good, too. I like it, too. Give me, give Papa that crust." Amen. I'm so afraid that many times we pick us out this one little scripture, and that's all we know, and that's all we try to live by. Get in the Word. Know the Word from Genesis to Revelation. Know what Jesus said in His parables. Know how Jesus lived. Amen. He is that perfect example for us to live by. Eat the center of the bread. Eat the crust of the bread. Pick up the crumbs, amen. There was one lady that came to Jesus and said, "Yeah, if you just give me the crumbs, I can live on the crumbs, because the crumbs of the bread is anointed." Well, Ecclesiastes 9 and 7 says, "Eat thy bread with joy." Glory to God. Not, "I got to read God's word." I get to read God's words. Not, "I have to read God's word." I need to read God's word. Oh no, it's time to read the word of God. Oh yes, it's time to partake of the bread, amen, that the Lord has prepared for us. I find Him more than able to see me through any situation because of His living word. Hallelujah. Feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I can't take another bite. Hallelujah. Finally, Matthew 6 and 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Daily bread. It's a known fact that some try to store it up to last them a month. I found it's much easier, much fresher, much more sustaining if I get a fresh loaf every day. Amen. And I don't worry about tomorrow, because I'll receive my daily bread tomorrow. But right now I'm going to eat the whole loaf. I'm going to eat the crust. I'm going to eat the middle. I want to just let it come into my soul and feed me. Because I have eaten. I have listened. I have entertained other things. And those other things are not spiritually nutritious to your life with the Lord. If any bread, don't eat it. Amen. And I hope you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
If it's not the word, don't eat it. If it can't be backed up by the word, don't eat it. Somebody tells you something contrary to the word of God, don't eat it. When the tempter comes and makes it look awfully appealing and appetizing, don't eat it. Amen. Rebuke him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. I want the real living word of God. Hallelujah. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Can the congregation sing with me? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up. and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench that terrible thirst in my soul. I need the bread of heaven to feed me till I can absolutely eat no more. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill it for me. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. This altar's open if you need your cup filled. Come and quench.